Hello, and welcome to this edition of Wallingford and District Talking newspaper. All articles have been taken from the Wallingford Herald for Wednesday, the 15th of July, 2026. Your readers today are Pat and Alec, and producing is Martin. Pete will be doing the copying. We hope you enjoy listening.
Hello, this is Alec. Picture on page two of a huge area of burned out crops. The aftermath of huge crop fire revealed. The aftermath of a huge crop fire in Oxfordshire, tackled by dozens of firefighters over 8 hours, has been revealed in drone shots. Firefighters were called to extinguish around 100 acres of field in Aston Tyrold on Monday afternoon. The flames spread quickly through the crops as billowing clouds of smoke could be seen more than 30 miles away. Nearby resident Sandra Reed Jennings described it as quite scary and added that the power went off about 5 p.m. for a couple of hours due to the fire. A roofer working nearby said smoke was horrendous and loads of fire engines. The local landscape photographer and licensed drone operator Hedley Thorne took shots of the fire-ramaged farmland following the blaze, which was extinguished on Monday evening. He's posted these striking pictures of the burnt fields near Lollingdon Hill to reveal the damage the blaze did to the landscape. Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue said crews left the scene at 9:20 on Monday, having dealt with the fire. The cause is unknown, but not thought to be suspicious.
Hello, this is Pat. Warning amid surge in defibrillator use. A surge in defibrillator usage during the recent heat wave has prompted fresh calls for action. South Central Ambulance Service, SCAS, is urging defibrillator guardians to ensure that their devices are ready to use after a reported 118% increase in the number of times members of the public were directed to collect a defibrillator during emergencies. The spike was recorded during a heatwave in late June and comes as the region faces its third heatwave in the summer, with temperatures reaching the mid-30s degree centigrade. David Hamer, Divisional Community Engagement Manager for Thames Valley at SCAS, said, "This surge of defibrillator deployment during the last heatwave shows how vital the work of defibrillator guardians is."
Council tech upgrade may leave buyers homeless. An estate agent in South Oxfordshire has warned home buyers are on the brink of homelessness due to the South Oxfordshire and Vale of Whitehorse Council's incapability to fulfil basic responsibilities. Home buyers have been left waiting months to buy property due to a problem with the SODC and Whitehorse Council's software. The hold-ups have affected South Oxfordshire and are believed to be caused by search delays tied to ongoing IT problems at the District Council. Searches carried out by solicitors to identify legal, environmental or planning issues could affect the value or use of a property relying on information provided by the council. SODC software includes land charges, planning and mapping systems was taken offline for the upgrades. The councils informed estate agents there would be temporary disruption from April the 9th to April the 30th to the service, which no searches can be processed or returned. Planning services only returned on June the 23rd, and the land charges system is still being tested. Richard Belville, owner and director of Belville Estate Agency, said, "We are currently have multiple deals which should have been ready for some time, whereby buyer and seller are desperate to exchange contracts and complete, but nothing can happen until the searches are returned. Within these deals, we have clients whose mortgage offers may expire and others who may be made homeless as their current rental is due to expire. The council doesn't seem capable of discharging its basic responsibilities. SOBC area is a beautiful part of the country and we're lucky to live here, but we are seriously let down by the local government. In a statement, the district council has apologised and confirmed that land charges remain in final testing. A spokesman for the council said the system's land charges and planning systems have been undergoing an upgrade. Due to the downtown time, there will be a period of catching up once we launch, and we will outline timescales and the number of working days from acceptance once the system has launched. We hope to resume normal service as soon as possible once we've worked through the backlog from our downtime. We will keep all our users updated regularly on the progress of the website. We are very sorry for any issues the downtime is causing and thank everyone for their continued patience. We really are doing everything in our power to get the system back online.
Apart from working 24 hours a day. New yellow box to be installed at Busy Junction. A new yellow box junction is due to be installed in Didcot after a councillor's campaign amidst chronic congestion. The new box is due to be installed on the junction of Cow Lane Bridge in a bid to keep the road clear and allow traffic to flow on Hitchcock Way. The move comes after a campaign by Didcot West councillor Ian Snowden, who announced the changes. Despite this success, though, Mr. Snowden said there is still a lot more to do, vowing to continue pressing for wider measures to tackle congestion. Announcing the new measures on social media, he said persistence pays off. After years of raising the chronic congestion on Hitchcock Way, countless meetings, questions, petitions and campaigning, I'm pleased to say we finally secured a small, practical improvement. Too often, traffic travelling along Hitchcock Way blocks the junction, preventing vehicles from Ladygrove and Station Road from getting through when their lights are green. The new yellow box should help keep the junction clear, allowing traffic to continue flowing instead of becoming gridlocked. It is not the complete solution I've been campaigning for, but it is progress. This shows that when residents speak up and we keep pushing, improvements can happen. Mr. Snowden explained just how last week the council rejected calls to review the junction, despite residents highlighting the problems.
Peak hasn't hung up his space boots. The country's most famous astronaut has revealed he hasn't ruled out returning to space. Major Tim Peake became a household name in 2015 when he became the first British astronaut to visit the space station and to complete a spacewalk. After greeting King Charles at the Harwell Science and Innovation Campus on Friday, where the King opened the UK Space and Defence Gateway, Major Peake spoke of his plans for the future. "I don't think any astronaut hangs up their space boots, and I haven't. Never say never is my opinion." He said there is a chance of going to space again because he is one of the four astronauts working for Axiom Space, based in Houston, Texas, which is planning to fly astronauts to the space station. The new gateway will be a hub for collaboration in the space and defence sectors, including with a focus on sustainability. The King saw models of space technology, including satellites, and spoke with partners of the initiative, including from the European Space Agency, Astroscale, Oxford Space Systems, and Space Solar. He said the organisation's work will ensure that we manage the environment rather better than we've done so far, and I do congratulate you on your efforts. I look forward very much to seeing all the developments that can take place here over the following years. The sustainable markets initiative was established by the King in 2020 when he was Prince of Wales, has announced a partnership with the Harwell Campus to advance its global framework called Astra Carta. Major Peake, who is an ambassador for SMI's Astra Carta initiative, said humans will not be able to leave Earth if it becomes unsafe from space debris. There's nothing quite as powerful as seeing your home planet from space to give you a completely fresh perspective on the vastness of the universe and how tiny our planet is and how incredibly thin the atmosphere. We need to protect the environment so we can continually use it. Quite rightly, King Charles recognised the space environment as an incredibly precious environment. I think we can see from today the power the King has and the importance of having him behind these initiatives, because he has the ability to convene people from industry, from academia, from public and private finance, from space defence, and, for example, to get everybody in the same room talking about the issues at hand. The King recognises this is a moment to make sure that if we get it right from the outset, then we will pay dividends for generations to come. The King also spoke to John McCall, who is the only professional astronaut with a physical disability. A British Paralympic sprinter and orthopaedic surgeon, was selected by the European Space Agency in 2022. Earlier in the afternoon, the King visited the UK's National Space Laboratory, where he viewed an Earth observation satellite model, a space test chamber, a telescope, and a vibration chamber testing area.
This article and the one before is accompanied by large coloured pictures of the King's visit to Harwell. He's looking very smart in a pale grey summer suit. Royal visit recognises vital space boosts to economy. King Charles' visit to Harwell Science Campus near Didcot recognises the vital contribution to the space sector which makes to the UK economy, according to the country's space minister. The King was at the Science and Innovation Campus on Friday to officially open the new UK Space and Defence Gateway. Harwell Science and Innovation Campus is the UK's largest space cluster, and the gateway will be a dedicated hub for the space and defence sectors, driving national and global collaboration between government, the academic world and industry. It will focus on linking innovation to investment-building partnerships to shape tomorrow's space and defence economy and helping businesses to sustainable start and grow in the UK. The gateway will be based in new co-working and event space at the heart of the Harwell Campus Space Cluster. Space Minister Liz Lloyd said, "The opening of the Space and Defence Gateway is a significant moment for the UK's defence space sector, and His Majesty the King's visit to Harwell underlines the vital contribution this cluster makes to our economy. We are committed to building a national capabilities that deliver better space services and create global export opportunities. I look forward to seeing the gateway deepen the collaboration that this turns world-class talent into real breakthrough." Following the launch, King Charles said to staff gathered at Compass, "I congratulate you for all your efforts and look forward to seeing all the developments that take place here over the years." Among the guests at the campus of the launch was British astronaut Tim Peake. For more than 60 years, Rutherford Appleton Laboratory Space has provided the specialist expertise that underpins science applications around the world, including Earth observation work that supports action on climate change, biodiversity loss, and resilience to environmental change. It has contributed to more than 200 instruments in space and has played a key role in establishing the UK as a competitive force in the global space economy. This REL Space is one of the anchor organisations of the Harwell Space Cluster and a cornerstone of the space sector. The cluster is Europe's largest concentration of space organisations, supporting more than 120 public and private organisations, along more than 330 defence and security organisations. Dr. Barbara Ganelli, Director of Innovation Clusters and Harwell Campus, said, "The Gateway is not only a physical hub with access to multidisciplinary cutting-edge facilities, it is a new way of working which brings together civil and defence space stakeholders across government, industry, academia and the investment community to enable a clear pathway between innovation, scale-up and to deliver on national priorities. I look forward to working alongside our partners in the Gateway across the UK and internationally to help our businesses thrive while making a real difference to the world." Dr. Sarah Bernsley, Director of REL Space, said, "Welcoming His Majesty the King to our state-of-the-art facility has been a real privilege. Pushing the boundaries of technology and testing satellites before launch means that we can put innovative ideas into orbit to shape our future."
Market cancelled due to excessive heat. The country market had to be cancelled due to excessive heat in last week's heatwave. Wallingford Country Market, which brings an array of produce and products to market stalls set up outside St Mary Le Moore Church in the marketplace every week, was cancelled last Friday. Temperatures in Oxford topped 33 centigrade with an Amber Health Security Agency warning and in place until Sunday night. The market's organiser said, "For only the second time I can remember, there will be no country market due to the excessive heat. Sorry again for the inconvenience. We all look forward to being back with you in a week's time and hope you can stay cool till then."
Snub for our towns over Culture Crown. Southern Oxfordshire towns have been snubbed for the UK Town of Culture Award. Despite multiple applications from the county, none were shortlisted for the inaugural UK Town of Culture 2028 title. Among those entering were Abingdon, Henley and Wallingford. Shortlisted towns will receive £60,000 to work on their full bids, with the winners to be announced next year. They include Basildon, Birkenhead, Corby, Great Yarmouth, Grimsby, Ilfracombe, the Isle of Bute, Lerwick, Leith, Pontypridd, Port Talbot, Rotherham, Sandown, Strabane and Stockton. The competition is part of the government's ambition to restore pride in local areas and follows the announcement of the Pride in Place programme last year.
Arrests in a robbery probe. Arrests were made as part of an armed robbery investigation. Neighbourhood police officers Emery and Allinson made the arrests in Didcot and Wallingford after an incident on Monday of last week. Having identified suspects, the duo carried out their regular patrols with the team keen to locate the potential criminals. On Tuesday last week, PC Emery noticed that one of the suspects walking in Didcot. They made a three-point turn and arrested the individual, who was remanded to court. The second arrest took place 24 hours later when the officers were on patrol in Wallingford and spotted and detained a second suspect.
Steam Rally marks 60th anniversary event, and there's a nice picture of two chaps on a steam engine which is called Chimera. Woodcote Rally 2026. An Oxfordshire steam rally has been hailed as fantastic as the village celebrates its 60th anniversary event. Woodcote Steam Rally in Steer South Oxfordshire was kicked off in style on July the 10th, transforming the field of Church Lane in Ibston into a steam-powered weekend of entertainment. The action-packed festival included classic steam parade, games and rides on the trucks and tractors, an exhibition of interesting cars and bikes, and a huge range of entertainment. Over the weekend, attendees enjoyed birds of prey and guide dog demonstrations, a circus skills workshop and entertainer for children, food and drink trails, fairground rides and stalls, and a mobile farm. Music included Flemish Bond, The Mythicals, Cold Harbour and Sub-Zero, among other acts, which graced the stage, such as the Roy Bailey Big Band and Wallingford Morris Dancers. The very first Woodcote Veteran Transport Rally was held as a one-day event in 1964, raising money for the Village Hall, and an annual two-day event was held from 1974, making the rally a staple in the annual village calendar.
Locals appalled by the developer's appeal. People objecting to plans for 480 new homes on the edge of Wallingford are appalled by the developer's appeal against the scheme's refusal. The unpopular scheme from Crowdace Homes was submitted in October 2024 and received more than 1,100 objections before it was refused by SODC last April. The developer has now launched an appeal against the decision, seeking to have it overturned by a planning inspector at a public inquiry in January 2027. The proposal was outline permission for 400 new homes and 80 retirement homes, open space, leisure and sports facilities on the land west of Shillingford Road, behind what we know as the Howell Estate. The local Stop the Sprawl was headed up by Dean Valor and Julia Spence. Miss Spence said Wallingford has already well exceeded its agreed new housing quota, and those in charge of the decision would do well to note that while permission was granted for 1,000 new homes 9 years ago, only 50% of these have been built due to a lack of demand. Adding another 480 new houses in the area where they are not selling makes absolutely no sense. To proceed with this development is tantamount to tearing up our neighbourhood plan. She added that the sewage system, infrastructure, services and education assistant institutions in the town would not be able to cope with this scale of development. The concerns were echoed by Town Councillor Ros Lester, who said the application and appeal is just as unwanted as it was during the initial consideration. As far as I'm concerned, nothing has changed. Wallingford and its surrounding village and ropes and roads can't cope with any more housing. At present, we're trying to sort out on-street parking for permit holders and more traffic, be it passing through the town or for shopping and visits to the town, is only going to cause more congestion. We want visitors to experience a small market town by the river. We want them to feel welcome and appreciated, and we want them to spend their money and feel the true Wallingford. Infrastructure like our medical centre and our dental practices have enough to cope with. There is a lack of spaces at Wallingford School, who've made it clear they do not wish to move or have any additional classrooms elsewhere. Let's be honest, these are developers who have no feelings either way regarding the community of Wallingford and its residents, so please post your objections. Miss Spence added, I urge readers to make their appeal immediately. We only have until the 10th of August to try and protect our beautiful town, after which it will be too late to take any action. And there's a photograph of a load of grumpy residents waving placards.
Historic railway line closes after crash. Trains on a heritage railway are expected to run again at the end of the month after being cancelled following damage to a level crossing. Cholsey and Wallingford Heritage Railway has had to cancel all of its trips and events after the damage to the railway last week. A crash on the A4130 Wallingford bypass damaged equipment at the level crossing, which requires repairs before any service can resume. The railway team declined to comment on the situation, but it has been revealed they hope the trains will be running again by the end of July. A spokesperson for Wallingford Town Council said, "While the trains may be temporarily paused, there is still plenty happening behind the scenes. If you've ever thought about volunteering, now could be the perfect time to get involved. There are opportunities for people of all ages and backgrounds, and no previous railway experience is needed, just enthusiasm and a willingness to help. Heritage attractions like the Cholsey and Wallingford Railway play a vital role in making Wallingford such a special place. They reserve our history, support local tourism and community life, and perfectly capture the spirit of our small town, big stories vision. Set up around 40 years ago, the Cholsey and Wallingford Railway is run by a dedicated team of volunteers on the former branch line between Wallingford and Cholsey. It runs historic, restored locomotives and carriages on the line for special events throughout the year, including seasonal and festive outings."
Multiple failings revealed in a police force watchdog report. A watchdog has revealed multiple failings at Thames Valley Police, including around domestic abuse. While assessors acknowledge there have been improvements since they last inspected the force, they cited concerns about how the force is investigating crime and supporting vulnerable people. His Majesty's Inspector, Roy Wiltshire, said there are still areas in which Thames Valley Police must do better, and we will continue to monitor the progress. "We've seen progress, and I'm optimistic that the force will build on the significant improvement seen in some areas during this inspection." Compiled by the inspectorate, the report ranked the multiple county police force on 8 areas of policing, giving them a judgment of outstanding, good, adequate and requires improvement, or inadequate. Thames Valley Police, it requires improvement in its leadership and force management, investigating crime, safeguarding children and adults. Mr. Wiltshire said, "I have concerns about how it's investigating crime and supporting vulnerable people. For example, the force should improve its safeguarding processes and its ability to progress crime investigations to make sure victims get the service they desire and deserve. In particular, its handling of domestic abuse was cited, with inspectors demanding the police improve processes for identifying and safeguarding high-risk victims. Even with a high-risk definition and risk assessment tool, the force has reportedly been under-assessing high-risk domestic abuse cases. This means a substantial number of cases that should have been graded as high-risk have been either remained or downgraded to medium risk. This can lead to victims being denied the investigative expertise of a qualified detective and a higher level of safeguarding support. In addition, the police response to non-immediate calls, in particular domestic abuse, was criticised. Despite investment in the control room and innovative use of artificial intelligence, its handling of fraud cases was not deemed adequate. Mr. Wiltshire explained, "The specialist fraud investigators don't have the capacity to investigate all fraud, so the force manages demand by closing some investigations prematurely and by leaving some fraud cases with untrained teams. On the other hand, it was given a good rating in terms of developing a diverse and inclusive workforce and preventing and deterring crime. The inspection acknowledged that whilst Thames Valley Police received £825 million in funding for the year ending March the 31st, 2025, which is within the typical range, it did face significant challenges."
There is more we can do, admits Deputy Chief of Force. Thames Valley Police has said that it realises more to do after failings within the force were revealed. The new report from His Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary reveals several areas where Thames Valley Police requires improvement. His Majesty's Inspector of Constabulary Roy Wilshire, OBE, said there are still areas which Thames Valley Police must do better, and we will continue to monitor its progress. We've seen progress, and I am optimistic that the force will build on the significant improvements seen in some areas. I have concerns about how it is investigating crime and supporting vulnerable people. Responding to this, Deputy Chief Constable Ben Snugg's pictures, as above in this article, said that he welcomed the report and the scrutiny that goes along with it. I am very encouraged to see recognition of our strong neighbourhood policing and prevention work, which is the cornerstone of effective policing. Equally, that the commitment which our officers, staff and volunteers show every day in protecting our communities through their dedicated service underpins everything we do. At the same time, we are clear that there is more that we can do. Mr. Snuggs explained they were focused on strengthening their investigations and enhancing how they identify and safeguard vulnerable people. We are already taking action to develop our investigative capabilities, he said, invest in our people and ensure we are making the most effective use of the resources to meet the demand. The force added that its improvement scores came after a 4% rise in 999 calls during the 25-26 period and a 7% rise in overall incidents to over 500,000. Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Barber, whose role will be scrapped in May 2028, said that he was very pleased to see the several areas where the force had made improvements. However, he added, while I am encouraged by the progress Thames Valley Police has made, the inspection has identified areas where further improvement is needed, including safeguarding and investigating crime. Through my regular engagement with and scrutiny of with the Chief Constable, I'm confident that work already underway to address and will deliver improvements of these areas.
Arrest after elderly woman scammed. An arrest has been made after a pensioner was allegedly cheated out of money by a fake courier who is reported to have taken her bank card. The elderly woman, who lives in an undisclosed area of Oxfordshire, was contacted by somebody claiming to be a bank official last September, who said he was investigating fraudulent activity on her bank card and he needed to send a courier to collect it. The card was corrected by the alleged courier and then used fraudulently to pay for multiple items. So-called courier fraud, which occurs when fraudsters telephone the victims plausibly pretending to be a bank or a police officer, and may even confirm basic, easily obtainable information with the victim, like their name and address. A report in the case was made to Thames Valley Police and the investigation was subsequently handed over to Leicestershire Police, where a potential suspect was identified. Leicestershire Police officers arrested a 26-year-old man suspected as being involved in the courier fraud after warrants were executed at two addresses in East Leicester. The man has been released on bail pending further inquiries. The investigating officer, PC Clifford, said this type of offence is of great concern. Suspects are targeting elderly and vulnerable people. They sound genuine and gain the trust of the victims. The police or banks would not contact people in this way. If you get a call like this, hang up. Don't be pressured into agreeing anything. She advised anybody who receives a call of this nature to discuss it with a family member or trusted friend, even if the caller says not to, and to contact the bank on a known official number. She said, your bank cards are yours and neither banks nor the police will ask for them.
Restaurants saved despite £200,000 debt. And there's a picture of the chef in the kitchen of the Five Little Pigs. A Michelin guide restaurant has been saved as an associated business, and it has £200,000 worth of debt. The Five Little Pigs in St Mary's Street, Wallingford, has confirmed that it is still operating as usual, despite a business bearing its name being listed for liquidation. This comes after a group of local investors purchased the restaurant 2 months ago in May this year. Miles Otway, one of those investors, confirmed that operationally nothing has changed. He said a group of local community investors and supporters of the restaurant, including myself, acquired the brand and assets of Five Little Pigs in May this year, as well as providing funding for growth initiatives. Operationally, nothing has changed. All staff remain part of the team, led by Amy Collins as executive chef, and we have exciting plans to support the team as they develop the restaurant further, including its newly launched events business, Free Range Pigs. We are delighted to be supporting Wallingford's local champion for high-quality, locally sourced food.
Signed Agatha Christie novel sells for £10,000. A book dealer has sold one of the most personal Agatha Christie editions ever to come to the market, signed by the authoress herself for £10,000. The first edition of Five Little Pigs, inscribed by Christie to her husband, the archaeologist Max Mallowan, was sold by a local book dealer, Tom Ayling, of Highbury Park. Mrs. Christie and her husband lived in Winterbrook House in what was then Cholsey from 1934 until her death in 1976, and has been celebrated as part of the town's legacy ever since. The statue of the world's best-selling crime author now stands in the Kynecroft, while a Michelin guide recognised restaurant on St Mary Street takes its name from the same novel, Five Little Pigs. "It's hard to imagine a book with a stronger claim to Wallingford," said Mr. Ayling. Five Little Pigs was published in 1943 while Christie and Mallowan were living in Winterbrook. She inscribed this copy to Max in the month of publication, a gift from one half of the great literary and intellectual marriages to the other. The copy is inscribed on the front end paper, "Max from Agatha, January 1943," presented to the author's husband in the same year the novel was published. It also carries a second inscription, added later when the novelist gave it to Phyllis Rice, housekeeper at the couple's Devon home in 1969. She signed it to the housekeeper as Agatha Mallowan, the name by which she was known to her neighbours in Wallingford, and the book remained with Mrs. Rice's family until ever since. Agatha and Max met in 1929 in the Caldies and married in 1930. Throughout the 1930s, Christie accompanied him on his archaeological expeditions in the Middle East each spring and autumn, serving as the expedition photographer and developing a gift for restoring ancient pottery, all the while writing some of her best-known works of detective fiction. Five Little Pigs is dedicated to Egyptologist Stephen Glanville, Mallowan's close friend and colleague in the Air Ministry, where they both served during the Second World War. And there's a picture of Mr. Ayling holding the book.
Villagers support the pub after fire destroys its roof. Villagers rallied round staff at their local pub after fire broke out in the early hours of Sunday morning. Emergency services raced to the scene of the blaze at the Crooked Billet pub in Stoke Row near Wallingford. The blaze, which started in the ground floor kitchen, caused serious damage to the roof of the building. A spokesperson said for the pub said there was a fire which badly damaged the pub and also cut the power of the pub, so it will be closed for this week. Chef Paul Clerihue also runs the London Street Brasserie in Reading. An Oxfordshire Fire Service spokesman said, "We were called at 2:20 a.m. sending 7 fire engines from Goring, Watlington, Didcot, Abingdon and Caversham fire stations to the Crooked Billet, Knotwood Lane, Stoke Row. Crews in breathing apparatus used ladders and high-pressure hoses to extinguish a ground-floor kitchen fire that had spread to the first floor and roof structure. They departed at 2 p.m. Firefighters have been busy round the county. Crews were called to deal with an incident in a city roundabout in the early hours of the morning. Officers used hose reels to tackle what appeared to be a fire at the plane near Magdalen Bridge at around 1 a.m. on Saturday. The county council has been unable to inform us as to the nature of the blaze.
This is from the public notices about highway problems. Cholsey's Papist Way will be closed 24 hours a day from August the 3rd until September the 4th due to gas replacement works. So if you're heading for the station, you better go through the centre of Cholsey and not try to go down the Reading Road because it will be closed. We have one local death announcement. David Charles Duval, who died on the 27th of June this year, aged 91, husband of Olga and father of Audrey and Clive, grandfather of Sophie, Jack, Daniel and Amy, and great-granddad of Zoe River. Family and friends are warmly invited to the funeral, which will be at St. Leonard's Church in Wallingford at 2 p.m. on the 27th of July. This will be followed by a private burial. Flowers are not required, please, and the family request is that you make donations to Sobel House.
Okay. Henley hailed as identical and as Paris duplicate. An Oxfordshire town has been hailed as the UK duplicate of Paris for the perfect place to get engaged this summer. Henley offers the same timeless charm with peaceful river views, scenic boat rides, and the picturesque backdrop of Temple Island. Paris is famously known for its romantic riverside setting, boat cruises, and iconic proposals along the Seine. A study by chauffeur service Sixt Ride has scouted out the best duplicates in the UK for iconic towns in Europe and towns and cities. June to September is the peak season for holiday proposals, with 53% of couples getting engaged while abroad. In fact, Google searches for where to propose in the UK have risen by 2,142% in the last 12 months, mainly due to travel uncertainty in the Middle East.
That concludes our recording for this week. We hope you enjoyed listening, and so it's now goodbye from us all.
Goodbye.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper. All articles have been taken from the Wallingford Herald for Wednesday, the 15th of July, 2026. Your readers today are Pat and Alec, and producing is Martin, and Pete will be doing the copying. Hope you enjoy listening.